Matthew 6:33 says something really important. We quote it all the time. And I anticipate the service shifting here in just a minute based on something that I had, an experience I had last night. But the Word teaches us in Matthew 6:33, it says, the emphasis is on this. It is, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His way, His righteousness, His will, and all, everything else would be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. We've said it a thousand times. And the kingdom of God, or the heavens of God, and the earth are two individual dimensions, the kingdom of God, the earth. And we're told to seek first a dimension that is above the earth. And then God says things like, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. And then He always incorporates the union of His will. And the union of His will is that we are united. And we're united for a very specific reason, because we're in the earth. So heaven is a dimension, if you will, where everything is perfect, but it's not revealed in every way. And the reason it's not revealed in every way is because it takes faith, and God knew that, so He created you and I. And then we think of heaven as one dimension, and then the earth is another dimension, but we understand that everything is created in a triad, in a trinity. Everything is created in a trinity. The entire universe, height, depth, width, past, present, future, what is, what was, what is to come, mass, everything is created in a triad. So what is the third element? There has to be a third element that would connect heaven and earth. There has to be a third element. Seek first the kingdom of God. And the question would be, what am I looking for? If I'm seeking the kingdom of God, what exactly is it that you're looking for? Seek first the kingdom of God. So heaven and earth, seek the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is on the inside of you. So what am I looking for if I seek the kingdom of God? And what is that trinity? What is that third thing that unites heaven and earth? That's a great answer, Holy Spirit. But he is the Trinity. He is the Godhead. So what would it be? Heaven and earth. What would it be? Vision. It's vision. Without vision, the people, they perish. It doesn't matter what you know about. It doesn't really matter what you know to do. It's how does it come together? Because the primary function is that we share. When God created man, woman, He said, let's share with them us. Let's share with them us. And the Word says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things would be added. And what things would those be? What things would God add to you? Like what things? Well, what things soever you have need of, God says, that's already taken care of. As part of creating you and loving you, God says, I'll take care of everything that you have need of. And then we can tend to think, well, then what is the division? Why does it seem sometimes like they are not there? And the Word makes it very clear. It says that we seek after things to satisfy what we're afraid of. What if you're afraid of your faith? What if you're afraid of where your faith might take you? So we try to find a comfortable spot. And we try to get out of the storm. But what if we're never going to get out of the storm? What if our call is to live in the storm? I mean, our call is to be a part of the design of God. He made man, and what did He say? Let's share us with Him. Let's share the kingdom of who we are with mankind. Let's share with Him. And share what? Share the nature of who God is. So you need to hold on here. We're coming into a real pivotal time in our world. And over the next 3 years, taking us into the next 4 years, is going to be Some people are going to call it disaster. Other people are going to call it wonder. Some are going to be astonished. Some are going to be confused. But then the word says, I don't want you to be confused. I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. So what does it look like? What does the kingdom of God look like? And the word tells us what it looks like. It looks like joy, peace, and righteousness. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. And where do we look for it? We know what it is. We know who it comes from, but where do we look for it? The word says, Jesus said, look. When they said, show us the kingdom, he said, look. Pointing his finger to someone saying, look, the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. And we know that too. You've said it so much, it doesn't carry the impact that it should. But what God is really saying to us is it's time for you to take dominion. It's time for you to take authority. Mamlacha. Dominion. Interesting word about the word dominion, mamlacha. It also means kingdom. How do we take dominion by the kingdom? And how do we? What are we looking for in the kingdom? Well, I'm looking for a great ministry. I'm looking for tremendous outreach. I'm looking for business so I can just finance every ministry out there that has a heart after God. That's not what the point is. It's not what it's about. When God created man and woman, he made them naked. He made them without anything and yet lacking nothing. Because the primary concern here, the purpose, the point, was to give them mamlacha, to give them dominion, to give them kingdom. So when God says seek the kingdom, God's saying seek mamlacha, seek dominion, seek to be in charge. Seek to be in charge. Religion has the world in sustain mode, just trying to make it through. And what God is doing is he's stripping all of the methods that just keep us safe. He wants us in a dangerous zone that isn't dangerous to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. There's your peace. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. There's a kingdom again for his name's sake. Even if I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid because there's nothing to fear. But if you fear your faith, fear of your faith can do more damage. It can hold you back because you're afraid to go into the storm. You're afraid to go. Some people, some of you I've heard you say, I thought we would be further along by now. Didn't you think that we would be in a different spot today? Didn't you think it would be different? But I have a word for you. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. I had a dream last night, and I always ask God to give me word to tell me what he wants me to say. And so I've prepared an incredible message on the kingdom and on dominion and why we're here and what we're supposed to do. And I have prophetic word for you. But I dreamt something that was completely outside of anything I had thought about or anything I was planning to talk about. It's nothing that I've been in any deep discussion regarding. And I had a dream and I woke up and I thought, what in the world was that? That was certainly a vision, a dream. That was one of those moments in time, one of those spiritual unveilings that just. And what was that about? Let me say to you again, you have to be in the position of dominion. And there isn't anyone that can leave you what you need. There isn't anyone that can give you what you need in order to put you in the position that you have to be in order to experience this incredible time that we are about to step in, where God is going to make us such witnesses in the earth. Now, we can say that, but there's doubt that is deep-seated in a lot of people because we just haven't seen a lot of it. And yet, we have great expectations for these innovators. I don't want to bring up any names because I just don't want to talk about people and people's names, but these innovators across the world who are doing things that are just astounding. And what was the connection? What was the cement? What made it come together? Impossible things. Vision. Vision without doubt. Vision without doubt. keeping everything on the table. I heard an innovator say the other day, he said, you know what I've done? It said, I've just kind of started getting rid of all the stuff, and I'm just putting everything on the table. I'm keeping everything on the table. And that's where God has those of you whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life since the foundation of the world. On the table. I've got it on the table. Meaning all the, if you will, all the chips are on the table. It's all on the table. I don't have anything in reserve. It's all on the table because Jesus said, come and sit at this table. This is my table. And I'll reveal myself to you. There's such influence in the world that if we will speak the right word out of the right heart, God will do what we say. And every authority and every power that is contrary to the will of God will bow. That's taking dominion. And that power is in you. Now, we have great confidence in some of these innovators. We know they're going to do what they say. But why don't we have that same kind of faith towards us? Where are the Abrahams and the Moses and the Elijahs and those people that just believed that this is just what's going to happen? And that's the only thing that comes out of their mouth. This is what we are going to do. And they don't feel fear failure at all. They look at it as a lens to do it better next time. And is the church, is the body of Christ as strong as the word says, the wisdom of the world has become stronger than the wisdom of the children of God? And is that because we have learned to fear our faith? We think that the blessing of the Lord comes where everything is specific and everything is particular to its course or to what we think needs to happen. What if God comes and just messes up your entire world? And then we do the worst thing we could do. We blame it on an enemy. We blame it on the devil. We blame it on something that has nothing to do with who you're sanctified by and through and who you're called to be. God has given you power in all the earth. He's given you dominion. And we have to take it and we have to say it. And we're going to say it today from this place because I dreamt that I said it. And when I did, things changed. So we're going to do exactly that today. So would you like to know what I dreamt? Okay. All right, since you asked. I dreamt that I'm in a place, and I'm standing, and there are two women, one older and one younger. And I'm trying to convince them of righteousness, trying to tell them this is the way it is supposed to be. And the younger one has a smug look on her face, a sense of accomplishment and deception, and okay with it, just okay. And she wants me to be a part of this. And there's promise there. And she just wants me to be a part. She wants us, my whole family, to be a part. Now, I want to say this to you. Consider that you are this family today, as I'm telling you. Consider this is your home. And this is you, okay? And I know that this woman is of a sinful nature, so I try to convert her. I start speaking righteousness to her, and she's deaf to me and has this smug look on her face, impervious to what I'm saying. No interest whatsoever, just interested in where she's been and what she's capable of. The sense you would get is, I think I'm something special. I think I'm pretty cute. I think I'm pretty amazing. I've been some places. I've been in some places. I've wielded in authority and power. I know where I came from. I know it's been unclean, but it's powerful nonetheless. And this person won't say much at all. But I can hear all of this. I can see it in her demeanor. I can see it in the character of her face. But the woman behind her, who is her mother, continues to speak on her behalf, keeps interrupting me every time I try to convert this woman, the mother of the younger woman, continues to interrupt me. I mean, to the point of frustration. And I finally say, stop talking. I'm not talking to you. I'm addressing this woman right here. And I begin to address this woman, and again, I'm trying to communicate righteousness, the right way of doing things. And again, it is as difficult to get anything through. Again, impervious, impenetrable. I cannot get through, and I'm trying with everything in me. And all of a sudden, I stop, I step back, and I point at the mother, and I say, "This is not God. This is not the will of the Lord." Now, when I rebuked her, she shut her mouth and wouldn't say another word. And when I said, "This is not God, this is not the will of the Lord, and this will not be, I'll not be party to this. This is not God." The mother starts to scream and everything just starts to shatter and fall apart. This smug attitude, this arrogant, pious attitude that they had just crumbled when I said, "I refuse to be a part." I said, "That is not me. I rebuke this. This is not God." And I rebuked it most fervently when I said, "This is not God," and stepped back and I stopped trying to preach righteousness to this woman and her mother. And I just rebuked and said, "This is not God. And we'll have no part of it." I wake up from the dream, interesting dream. And I say in my mind, "What in the world was that? What did I just dream? What was that?" I'm going to pause for a moment. I'm going to actually take a drink of water, because the suspense is amazing. And I hear the older woman is the mother of Babylon. She is the mother of the prostitute. That's what I heard. So I wake up this morning and I remember the Queen of Babylon, and I'm thinking, is there a mother of Babylon? So I open the Bible to Revelations chapter 13, and there it is in bold letters. The mother of Babylon, the mother of the prostitute. So I'm thinking, wow, this is heavy stuff. What is this? What is going on? Now again, keep in mind, this has nothing to do with what I wanted to minister today, or at least I thought it didn't really connect. And then I hear the Lord say to me, "Remember when you said, 'This is not God, and I'll have no part of it.' Say it." So I said it, "This is not God, and I'll have no part of it." And when I did, the woman shrieked as if she were a spirit being cast out. All authority, all power, all smugness, everything just melted and they were just gone. You have this power. And we have to say, this unrighteous thing will not take place. And I read in Revelation 17, Revelation 18, and it talks about a power. It talks about kings of the earth. And we stand in that time today. Whether you want to believe in revelations, I listen to God. I take on an attitude based on revelation, and I listen for the Spirit of the Lord to give me insight. And the Word says this. It says it in Revelations. It literally says you really can't know what you're reading except you receive the Spirit of wisdom, unless God tells you. So I wake up this morning, and God names exactly what it is. I go to the Word, and it is exactly the way I heard it in my ear before I got up, written in bold letters. The rest of the text was not bold, but what I dreamt was in bold letters. The mother of Babylon, the mother of the prostitute, and she's going to be cast out. The Word says she had power. She has power for a moment, and they come together, and they gather together, and they drink the blood of the righteous. God is pulling down authority over the next 3 years, people that thought they were in such privilege. And the Word says, and they have taken their privilege, and they have made others wealthy because of their arrogance and because they have taken pleasure in their luxuries. God is pulling it down. Over the next 3 years, God is going to rewrite our future. God is going to reassign us, readjust us, realign us, reposition us, where our words are with influence and our words are with power. And when we say a thing, God will bring that thing to pass. It doesn't matter how evil. And the word says that the seer was stunned. John was stunned and he was astonished. And the angel says, why are you astonished? And he's astonished because it's just like there's nothing you can do about this. It's so big and it's so powerful. There is a machine. There is a network. There is a spirit. And I'm not talking about a demon. I'm talking about the mind of man that has rejected God. And it is like a machine in the earth. And it is pulling the strings of puppets all over, not just your nation, but the nations of the earth. And God is cutting those strings today. And the way he's doing it is he's raising up the voice of righteousness to those who know the kingdom of God belongs to me. I am a share with the kingdom of God. It isn't going to end because Jesus pops out of the heavens in a cloud. Let me tell you something. Jesus did not come out of heaven. He came out of the earth. He came from heaven. But Jesus, the Word, came from heaven. But Jesus came from a clay vessel. And he's going to do it the same way. He's coming through vessels. The Word says Jesus didn't come down like an angel. He didn't come out of heaven. He came from heaven. But he came out of clay, just like you. And he's coming out of clay, just like he did. And he's going to right the wrong. It's your call, young man. It's your call. And you remember the word I just said to you, young man. Take on the mind of a young man. Take on the attitude of someone who is fearless. You don't need anything that was left to you. As a matter of fact, God will wipe it all away. Because it is not where God takes you. It's not what God brings to you, Matthew Crouch. God says, it's what I bring through you, what I draw out of you. Out of you is going to flow rivers of life-giving water. And it is the influence of your vision that will draw people around you that will say, I want to be a part. People whose concern isn't about what they've done for years and the wealth that they've acquired, but the vision that God has given them. God says that he caused the evil. He caused even the woman to give over their authority. God did that and gave it to the beast and then used the beast to destroy the unrighteous. God is authority and God is power. He's not coming out of heaven to fix it. He's coming out of you. But his authority comes from the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Seek the kingdom where? Where do we look for it? Jesus said, look, look, it's right, look, look, can't you see it? Can't you see where it is? Your salvation is based not on a Savior dropping out of the sky, but the Lord coming out of faith in the Word of God. God spoke to Mary. He told her what he was going to do. She says, it's impossible. And God said, believe my word. There was no debate as to whether it was possible or not possible. God just said, believe the word that I've given to you. Believe the word that I've given to you. Believe the word I've sown in you. The word literally says, from the foundation of the world, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a pretty astounding word. David said, you knew me in my mother's womb. You knit me together. You knew every part. You knew every bone. You knew how I would come together. But God in his grace and his mercy, he uses the avenues and the venues that help us get to a certain point where then God can say, I've got you out in the water as deep as I want you because you can't go back. And to sink is to drown, and you can't fly. So what are you going to do? Jesus? Peter? What are you going to do? And walk on water. And why can we do that? We don't believe anymore in the things that happened. Fire coming out of the heavens, oh God, and sacrifice being consumed, and rocks and wood and water being lapped up. We don't believe in Red Seas parting anymore. But it's the innovators today that believe they can do the impossible, that are walking on the water. But God is troubling those waters, and those ships will sink. As a matter of fact, ships are going to sink carrying great cargo. Ships are going to sink carrying secrets and influence and plans and purposes. God is bringing it all down. And just like the prostitute's mother, just like the mother of Babylon shut her mouth and screamed out as though she was cast out like a demon spirit, those powers are going to bow to the authority of the church, to the body of Christ. And we have that power. I want you to stand with me for a minute and say, it is forbidden. Stand with me and say, it is forbidden. Unrighteousness will not rule. Those that reject God, those who say you are in the wrong place, they will fall. They will lose their influence because it is not God. It is not of the Lord. It is forbidden. And those whom God has called, that's me, God will elevate and bear witness that He is God in them. People whose job it is to do the things they do, and they do it for a lot of money and because of influence, they will come and they will serve at the feet of those that have taken dominion. Those that have said, it is God, Mamlacha. I have dominion. I have kingdom. I have kingdom. I have kingdom. Prayed the other day, and last night I prayed, and I always inquire of the Lord. I never think that I've got it all, but I know that I can know it all if I'll just listen. Like Joseph said, I don't know, but God knows. Daniel said, I don't know, but God knows. And as I'm praying, God just quickened me, tell me what you have. Tell me what you have. And I said, I have the word of the Lord in my mouth. I have your kingdom. I have your power. I have your favor. Presence. I have your righteousness. There was no prayer, and this is just before I retire for the evening. There's no prayer of inquiry as to what I need God to do. And so God purges you when you pray that way, because then it's no longer I that's living, so there's no lack, there's no want, there's no need. God is bringing out of you, out of this generation, everything that He wants to do, what He wants to do. And you know what He wants to do? God wants to share the kingdom. When He created man and He said, take dominion, what He literally said is take share. Take share with us. Now, when God first spoke, He addressed the heavens. First time, it was the heavens. It was not the earth. It was not man. And God said, let us make humanity. Let us make vessels in our own image, in our own likeness. He addressed the heavens of God, dimension one. And then He does what He said in dimension two. And then He says to man, you have, He said, let them have dominion. So then He says to Adam and He says to Eve, have dominion. But they didn't take it. Just like we're not taking it today. Had they have taken what God said, have, then they would have overcome the serpent. But it wasn't about the serpent at all. The serpent really didn't play into it the way you think that the serpent did. What it really was is that the dominion that we have to take is the dominion over our minds, our words. I'm going to say no one in this house is going to retire. No one is going to take it easy. No one's going to back up or back off unless you reject and say in your own heart, I cannot. God will heal you. God will strengthen you. Why? Because it's part of who you are. Being well is part of who you are. But there's a scripture that says, wake up. Wake up. Jesus said, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You got to acknowledge me for who I am. I walked among you. I spoke among you. I healed. I did signs. I did wonders, and you still rejected me. So it's not what you see. It's evident that convinces you. It'll never be what God does that convinces you. It's when you receive a word and it becomes your meat and your drink, just like Jesus said. He said, the food that I eat, he says, is the word of the Father, to do the will of God. That's what I live on. And you know, when you begin to harness that word as your source of life and you realize it isn't outside of me, there isn't anything, and this is where peace comes in, there isn't anything outside of this that is going to satisfy. It's the word of the Lord that comes into my mind, and with my mind, I get to surrender it as a sacrifice. That's what Paul was talking about. I get to take my mind, I get to take my fear, and then I say, God, take me someplace by faith fearful so I can't be afraid. Take me someplace, lead me someplace where I am without fear. And the only place you're going to go without fear is in the storm. The only place you're going to be without fear is when you're in the furnace and you're not being burned. I put before you, you're in a furnace today. You're in a storm. You're in the midst of a very turbulent world. But Adam, Eve, have dominion. Take it. Have it. Take it. And it begins with the lack or the inability is a compromise. It shouldn't be in my mind. I lack no good thing. To be afraid, to think, to think I should be further along by now is a misconception. You're right where God wants you. I would imagine Shadrach may have thought that. Jesus even prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And then he said, those immortal words, not my will. Your will be done. Let your will be done. Hear me, those whose profession, whose policies, whose politics, whose strategies have built much of the known world that we see around us will partner with those who are in dominion. They've done it for the wrong side. They'll do it for the right. And all that influence and power, you will know, was not done because someone gave it to you, because you sold yourself, but because you united heaven and earth to that one thing that God's given you, vision by faith. Vision by faith. And what is that faith? We're here to take dominion in the world. We're the influence. We're coming up on a day of decision. God has already made the decision. What do you agree? What does your heart say? God is for me. God has given me dominion. He has given them 1 hour of power. What will God do? He will turn it over and he will give that authority and power into you. But there has to be some chaos for us to demonstrate God's awesomeness. In the midst of things that are impossible, just like Mary said, it's impossible. Jesus, God never argued with her, but she was quickened in her spirit. The kingdom came alive on the inside of her. And she went to Elizabeth and she said, guess what? I'm blessed of the Lord. And people are going to call me blessed. You have to say that from now on, both of you. I am blessed of the Lord, and people have to call us blessed. Here's the word of the Lord that will carry you through everything. You have to call me blessed of the Lord, because God is signified by his will and by his wonder. God foretold this time. Did you forget to remember? This is the greatest season of your lives. There's a little more perching that God will do. How can two walk together except they be agreed? We'll agree. And we will say, we're blessed of the Lord. and we cannot be cursed. We are satisfied in God, and everything that is necessary is coming out of me. The Midwest and the Middle East and the southern borders, believe it or not, will honor you. But not because you go or they come, but because you have united heaven and earth with the vision God has put on the inside of you by a very simple word. Anything less is not the will of God. I am blessed of the Lord. I felt like when Jesus spoke, when these two figures of great authority represented nations of the earth, set before me and scoffed at me, just jeered at me, and just that evil, I'm so good. And just one simple revelation, and it was a revelation. I could have said a lot of things, you demon, you devil, but I just said, this is not the will of the Lord. And when you are sanctified by the will of the Lord, then everything has to bow to that. That's dominion. And it's with the understanding God has given me dominion. He's placed it on the inside of me. Jesus was saying, what are you doing? Look. You're looking around. You're looking in the distance. You're looking too far away. Look, the kingdom of God is within you. People will be drawn to you. Just like Jesus said, they will come and they will call you blessed of the Lord. They will call you chosen of God. But we have to do what the innovators of today are doing. We have to dream beyond, and then we have to put our hand to it without the ability to start it. You can't even begin it. Mary, how are you going to do it? You don't have a husband. How do you begin? How do you do what you're about to do? Because I am blessed of the Lord, and everyone has to call me blessed. Now, it doesn't matter if they curse you. Everyone has to call me blessed of the Lord. In my night vision, I choose to call it a vision because the word says the young have visions and the old have dreams. I stepped back and I said, I'll have no part of this. And not only that I'm not going to be part of it, but this is going to bow to the will of the Father. And by simply saying, this is not the will of God. And who are you? You are the will of the Father. What is the kingdom of God? Same as any kingdom. It's the mind of the King. It's the mind of God. God has held out his scepter and he's received you. God has held out his scepter and said, you've been afraid. And I've allowed you to see your fear so I could conquer it with a river that's on the inside of you. So I could show you resolve and peace on the inside. I mean, didn't you tell me that I could do whatever I wanted to do? Do whatever pleases you. Your will be done. And are you angry at God because he did what you asked him to do? Over the next 3 years, there will be such dramatic change in the surface of the world, in how we think and how we believe and where we go and what we do. Out of the abundance of the hearts of God's people, wealth is going to flow. Do you hear me? And not corporate wealth from people that wield in bad deals and try to say they're doing good with it, but people that have said, God has brought me the wealth of the kingdom of God. And why? Because people have surrendered to your faith. They have brought you their treasures. But only your faith could do it. Nothing that you had that was significant, nothing that you have done other than the nakedness of your faith. Here I am, Lord, naked before you, innocent through the blood of the Lamb. Here I stand before you, purged, clean, white as snow. God has washed you clean by his word. He has washed you clean by His blood. He has sanctified you in such a way that today is a different day than any other day. This is not just a day. This is the specific day that God has made. He has orchestrated it. He has designed it for His purpose and His pleasure. And in His pleasure is fullness of joy. In this moment of time, right here, right now, the woman said, "This is the moment." Jesus said, "You drew power out of me, but that power came from you, the vessel. It didn't drop out of heaven." She said within her heart, if I can, the moment that I touch Him, power, virtue will flow, and it will satisfy every debt that I have. It'll be a river of healing in my body. God just wanted you to go someplace different than you've ever been before. He knew it was necessary. How can I agree when I don't agree? How can I honor what I don't agree with? Man, Lord, to do the will of the Father is to honor your mother and father and those that have stood before you and what they have built and what they have done. God has disarmed those that would disarm you in 4.5 years, and you didn't even know it. Those for wrong purpose that stood and said, "We'll stand and we'll do," God has disarmed, and you still don't know it, but you will. And beside you, the Lord will stand a witness that says, "I hear the voice of the Lord. I know what truth is." And you'll say, "Give me the word of the Lord." And the Lord will say, "It's coming out of you because I have planted it on the side of both of you. And out of your bellies is rivers of life-giving water. And this water doesn't exist any place except in the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." And those who have walked a minute by faith and those who would dare to believe God. I had a towel in my hand when I spoke to this woman, but I refused to throw the towel in. Instead, I folded it up and I said, "This is not God." And I loved the scream that I heard. It was a horrible scream. It was a blood-curdling scream. And all I said is, "This is not the will of God. And I'll not be a part of it." I didn't even have to say what I was going to do. And God shut it down in a moment. And I woke up and the word of the Lord was in my mouth. And here's the word for you. You don't have another day to take dominion. You have today to take dominion over your own mind. And this is your word of dominion. God said it in Genesis. "I'm blessed of the Lord. And there is no evil, and there is no nakedness, and there is no shame, and there is no sorrow about me in any way." God has given me dominion. God has given me dominion. Kingdom. God has given me kingdom. Is it any wonder that the kingdom of God, because it is different than the kingdom of the earth, that God would separate the kingdom of the earth from the kingdom of God? And then He would say, "Now let's bring it back together by faith, by the written, spoken, living, prophetic word of God." Prophecy identifies God's vision. And God's vision is the cement. It's the triad. It's the Trinity. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the things together. Vision. And that vision is in you. One more time, say with me. And we speak right now to the four corners of the earth. We declare the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. We declare the living word and the testimony of the Lord, that His word abides in us. That arrogance will bow its ugly head. Mother of Babylon, mother of the prostitute, those that have intoxicated the nations. This is not only in the political world, but this is in the arena of influence and entertainment. God, over the next 3 years, will make that kingdom crumble. And there will be a great, vast emptiness. And it is in that emptiness God will do a new thing. You need to be ready for it, because you will be a part of rebuilding what God is doing. And a great deal of it is going to happen right here in this state. Babylon will fall and bow its knee to the living God. Let there be a Samson in the house. One man. Let there be a Mary in the house. One woman that says, God will give me victory today. He will show me His great and mighty hand in victory over the enemies of righteousness, and God will be glorified in the nations of the earth. I have sought the kingdom, and I started looking for it in the right place. The kingdom of God is within me. Joy, peace, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. I am filled with joy. I am filled with peace. I am filled with righteousness. Now say, the evil, say the evil, the disregard of God in the nations is not the will of God. And we will be no part of it. You will bow your head and surrender to the living God. In Jesus. 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 Mighty name. According to the kingdom of God that dwells within me. And we declare it a yes and amen. In the mighty name of the Lord. Give God praise in the house this morning. You can take your seats. Someone who's watching, all the places you're going, all the places you will be, all the places your signature will enter into, all the different states around the country. It's not for business sake, it is because the commitment of your heart to sow to the kingdom of God. And it is not you, it is the kingdom of God sowing through you. And for that, God will show you increase upon increase and overflow upon overflow, and you'll walk on these waters. There's water all around us, and the Word calls those waters kingdoms and nations. And God said we would tread on the water. It's no wonder that Jesus tread on the water. Prophetically significant to treading on evil territories. Evil being what? Spirits, demons? No, the perception of man that rejects God. And why does that happen? Because the righteous don't take their place in their position. We cannot, we're not going to mingle. We're going to be innovative. God is going to be very creative through His people. And we're not doing things from a perspective of trying to convince the unrighteous to be righteous. We're going to share the vision of what the kingdom of God is all about. That's how you make it right. This is what the kingdom is about, and guess what? This is where it is. And you'll demonstrate it. Everyone in your own right, you'll demonstrate it. This is what the kingdom of God is. I couldn't preach this person into repentance, no matter how hard I tried. And the only thing that worked is when I stepped back and said, I'll not be any part of this. This is not who I am. This is not the will of the Lord. And then in an instant, it surrendered. And I walked away with a clean towel in my hand and woke up saying, my God, what was that? Feeling the authority and God saying in me, you've heard that anything is possible, but do you believe it? You've heard it said and seen it written, seek first the kingdom of God, but where is it? And what does it look like? And the kingdom of God is like a child. It's just simple. Child comes to you. When he comes up to his mom and dad, he's looking for joy, looking for peace, and looking for the right answer, the right stance, the right position of authority. That's the kingdom of God in you. Find peace. Find joy. Find righteousness. Some would call it a cohort, but there is a tribe of nations, of people, that God has already moved their hearts to be agreeable when they see the kingdom of God demonstrated. When they hear the kingdom of God, just like it says in Revelation chapter 17, God had already assigned them what they were going to do, even the unrighteous, until the word of the Lord was fulfilled and Jesus reigned as Lord of Lords, because he is God Almighty. That's you. Heaven's influence and heaven's sound can only really be heard in a melody that bears witness when it comes into the earth. That's why God created it. Because only faith gives attention to the details of God's glory, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. So I want to put before you, what did you do wrong? You had the wrong perspective of the right thing. God is in the midst of it all. God is doing a great thing. What is that thing? Exceeding and abundant beyond all you know to identify, to name, to call out. And I hear the two of you saying, who would have imagined in your wildest dreams that walking that road would have brought us to this place? Who would have imagined that the great vision that we had, where we were, I always imagined that God, out of that, and God says, I want to take you across the great divide. I want to take you across the sea. I want to part the waters, and I want to show you a new land. I want you to return to the promise of your father. I want you to return to the place that I have chosen for you to walk in. You can't run from your destiny. You can't hide from the evil, and you can't fear where you are. Matthew, this Matthew, you have to stand firm in what God has associated you with and say, I have nothing in me that divides me from the will of the Father. And there is nothing about my past or even my present and can keep me away from God and what he has anointed me to do. God will not allow you to run away. God will not allow you to hide. The Lord will draw you back, for the kingdom of God is within our grasp. When we pull on heaven, when we pull on this rope, we're identifying that God has done something right here. God has positioned, God, let's share kingdom. Let us share kingdom. That's what God was saying. Let us share kingdom with them. Take dominion. Let us share kingdom. Let's make them one with the kingdom. I see great days of joy. I see a celebration saying, look and see. Look and see. I can't believe we're looking out of this window and that window. I'm pointing my finger in every direction, and there isn't a direction I can point in where God hasn't done something or brought someone out or something out. Oh, people haven't stood and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for the vision that you have. Because God will associate you with what is right and what is true and what is strong and what is faithful. And out of that, God will build something that will take you from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Because this is that time, and this is the greatest season of your life. This is a day unlike any other day. This is a time unlike any other time. This is a moment that God has made. Today, God created it for his purpose. Significant pleasure, significant in all of its ways. My heart is seated in this is the will of the living God. In this new thing, you are chairman. In this new thing, you stand strong. In this new thing, you say, God has shown me my place. Because in the old thing, it was, where is it? But in this new thing, you are marked. You are chosen, Kalen. That is your position. And no man has given it to you, and no man can take it from you. There's a prayer over you from your grandmother. And God honored the prayer and made you unique in your perspective. And that's who you are. You are a prayer believed. You are a word called out. You are a season solidified. What that means is you have come into the time of acknowledging your season. And what should I be chairman of? Look and see what God has done. Look and see what the Lord has built. And don't one more time, not one more time, say when, where, and if. Say this is who. This is where. And this is when. And God has done it today. Today, by the word of the Lord, you will move forward stronger than you have ever seen yourself move. With less labor and more productivity, you will be called a friend by those that despised you. You will be called a friend by those that heard you and didn't understand you, by those that called you a religious fanatic, a nut, by the religious that called you a hater and a despiser. God will bear witness that He has blessed you, but it has to come out of you. I am blessed, and everyone has to acknowledge me as blessed. I'm blessed when I come in, and I'm blessed when I go out, because the Lord has chosen me, and the Lord has ordained me as favored and blessed of the Lord. Would you stand with me? Father, we give you praise, and we thank you for this moment in time. We thank you for this season, for this hour, for this minute, for this these seconds, this time, God. And Lord, we declare that you are God over all the nations of the earth. You reign truly supreme over all, at all times. And of you, through you, and to you are all things. To you, God, be glory and honor and praise and power and dominion. You are the Lord that raises up, and you are God that brings down. And whether you bring down or whether you raise up, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because your way, O God, is perfect. And it is finished. It has come to its conclusion. It has been solidified. It has been established. It has been said. It has been done. And God will be glorified. Father, in it we give you praise. We love you. We worship you. And we declare, hear, O heavens, and give way, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Let the wonder of God be manifest in the hearts of people. We'll do things that people thought impossible. You'll show up big and strong in homes all over the world, in cars all over the world, in air vehicles all over the world. Would God send your voice to Mars? Would God take you beyond the stars? Would God do in you as He said, I will do three things through you that you could not imagine? Would God say your vision was too narrow because it was too close at hand? Would God say, I want you to dream in the last days? I want you to dream. I want you to dream prophecies. I want you to see visions. I want you to see what I'm talking about. I want you to hear my mind. I want to show you what dominion really means. Jesus did it. But other than that, it has not been done yet. And it is yet to be done. And God has said there is a generation that will take dominion in the earth because it is the mandate of God. Have, will you be? Have dominion. Have dominion. Have dominion. Have dominion. Have dominion. Sustain you. He doesn't want to. He wants to take you beyond being sustained. He'll shut every voice that says, let's hold on. Because what he's telling you to do is let go. Because he's got a new rope to put in your hand. Have dominion. There isn't anything that you don't have. There isn't anything that you need. I feel your pain and I feel your joy. I feel your concern and I feel your faith. And through it all, God says, have dominion. Have dominion. I give it to you this day by prophetic proclamation. I deem authority and power by the word of God, as a prophet of God, by the living word of God. Have dominion. God is digging out all, pulling you out from under all the rubble. God doesn't like the doubt that he hears. God didn't say sell out or sell off. He said move forward. Thank you, Lord. It belongs to me. Have dominion. By prophetic declaration, I declare to you, it will remain greater than it has ever been and yet be all gone at the same time. God will do it all new. And God will make it right through you. It's the greatest season of your life. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord praise in the house. God, we worship you. We praise you. We love you. We thank you. Worship you, Father. When the Spirit of the Lord touches your spirit, when the Spirit of the Lord touches you and you feel it, and you did, that's God's seal. It's been done. It's been done. It's been done. Jerry, it's been done. It's been done. Do you feel broken and put back together today? Isn't this the greatest season of your lives? Isn't this the greatest season of your lives? Isn't this the greatest season of your life? Isn't this the day that God has made? Shouldn't we rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it? Shouldn't we walk in the fullness of the will of the Father? Shouldn't we walk in the trinity of His will and His favor, heaven and earth, till heaven and earth unite? Not one jot, not one word, not one tittle will pass from what God has said, but He will bring it all to pass because you are to take mamlaha, take dominion, take kingdom. This is that hour, this is that day in Jesus' name. Everybody shout, yeah.